Hello. It is once again time for Pod Sothoth, a Lovecraft book club with your host, that's me, Todd Beardsley, joined as always by my lovely attorney and wife, Claire Reynolds. Hello, Claire.
Hi.
We're going to do my favorite thing, and that is talk about Lovecraft.
Wait, what? I was not aware that that's what we were going to be talking about.
We're going to do my third favorite thing. Let's talk about Lovecraft.
I thought this was a cooking show.
No, unfortunately. So this episode, it's an even numbered episode, so I'm joined by Claire. And we are going to discuss the last story. And the last story was Nyarlathotep. Now that is how I pronounce Nyarlathotep.
Nyarlathotep? Like with no L?
Nyarlathotep. Nyarlathotep, possibly.
Hey, friends, ask Todd Beardsley to say nuclear sometimes.
Nope, please don't. It is a source of infinite embarrassment.
Nyarlathotep.
Nyarlathotep. But if you're saying it fast, you know, like in the original Egyptian, Nyarlathotep.
Like, did they not have L's? I mean, it's possible they didn't.
Drop the L's.
Okay. You say this with authority, so therefore I assume you don't know.
No, I have no idea. So the name Nyarlathotep. I'm going to just call it whatever I call it.
You call it whatever you call it. Okay. Gary.
And nope. And you say Nyarlathotep.
Gary,
and
I the say crawling chaos.
Nyarlathotep. the name, Lovecraft says, came to him in a dream, as many of the stories of this era. It is almost certainly a reference to a Lord Dunsany character whose name I forget and didn't write down.
To a what?
Lord Dunsany was a fantasy writer that Lovecraft read. He's like a 19th century fantasy writer.
Okay.
But anyway, Nyarlathotep. So it was first published in... So here's one point of contention.
1973.
Absolutely incorrect. It was published... So I was looking up to see when it was written, right? Because like you often want to know when something is written versus when something is published. I've kind of given up that chase. Better researchers than I have come up with conflicting dates because every source I could find said this was written in mid-December 1920. Those same sources often, so like I'm talking like Wikipedia and, you know, the Lovecraft Wiki and all that, say published in November of 1920. So kind of impossible to write it in December.
Says you.
I suppose. I mean, it is Lovecraft. And
Time has no meaning. Time's a flat circle.
There could be some time shenanigans going on.
Wait a minute, Doc.
I don't see how it would be published 4 weeks before it was written. So I'm just going to go with November 1920. It was published in the November 1920 issue of the United Amateur, which is where Lovecraft published a lot of his 1920 stuff. This is contemporary with stories such as Cats of Ulthar, which we've talked about, The Demon That Came to Sarnath, which we've talked about, The Statement of Randolph Carter, which we've talked about. So this is like, apparently like our favorite period of Lovecraft was this early stuff. Also, it's much shorter and much easier to read for a podcast.
I mean, that's what we're picking out at this point.
Yeah. I definitely sort by word count. I expect to get to them all. So one day I will read At the Mountains of Madness, which I think is the longest one.
We're doing this for us.
We are. We're doing it for us. Well,
and Sean Patrick.
And Sean Patrick. And
wait, the people from the UK.
Yeah. Jack from England.
Oh, and his daughter, right? Mm-hmm. What's her name? Mm-hmm.
All I know is his daughter. That's it. I don't think he ever gave me a name, which is smart.
Yes.
That's good OPSEC. So anyway, let's talk about Nyarlathotep. So what do you think? You just read it like 20 minutes ago.
I did. I mean, nothing happened.
What? It was the end of the world, baby.
There's no plot? It was fine. I mean, well, okay, so I did definitely feel like the beginning where they're like, it's a time of great doom and unease. And I was like, well, that hits a little too close to home, does it not?
it. So I picked up on the same thing. Everyone thinks they're living at the end of the world, including Lovecraft. And if you're sitting around in 1920, it probably looks like the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, you've just gotten, we now have a much more nuanced notion of what it means to get out of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure 1920 looks a lot like 2022. Yeah. You know, the 1918 flu has come and gone. It killed a whole bunch of people. It basically canceled a world war, the Great War at the time. And things aren't looking great, and things are looking confusing because you've got like these new movies and telephones,
and talking pictures.
They've got talking pictures.
Colin, the flying donut, the dancing dingus, the belly go round.
And so, yeah, things look very, very chaotic, I guess, from Lovecraft's point of view. So, absolutely, it is the end of the world. It is I wish I remember what the phrase was. It was something like it was a season of unrest, I think is yes. what it was. Yeah.
It's true, though. I mean, like, I feel like I learned from my grandparents. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I think I realized that, yeah, people always think they're living in the end times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's basically what the story is about.
Because you want to think that like whatever crazy shit is going on right now is like the craziest shit that could
be.
You don't
want to
think that this is just how it is. You know, this can't be normal, right? Uh-huh.
It's the realization that no one knows what they're doing.
Right.
We're all barely hanging on. There's no one in charge. And so you have two routes from there, right? Like you have, well, surely there must be someone in charge and it's the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. Or, oh no. no one's in charge at all.
There's something it just occurred to me now that there's something very similar between how you are when you're like maybe in your early to mid 20s and how you are when you're approaching the end of your life. Those are two big realizations where you're like, no, but exactly. No one, we're all just making it up as we go along.
Yep. The kids call it adulting.
How do you do, fellow kids?
What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're at that certain age, adulting is, you've realized that, oh, this is just.
Well, and then this is very early in Lovecraft's career, right? He's publishing in much smaller venues. He's not in Weird Tales yet. He's not hanging out with Houdini like he was 4 years later after this. Like it's very early in his career. And so like I can see how it is very similar to like that very normal, even today, like 20s experience of like, the realizations like, oh no, I have to like make decisions and stuff. And so the promise of Nyarlathotep is like, oh no, you don't have to make any decisions at all. Follow me into the desert. So let's talk a little bit about the character of Nyarlathotep. Shows up, I believe, yes, he's in person. I wrote it down. I did some research. He shows up in person more often than any other supernatural figure in Lovecraft's pantheon. Cthulhu only shows up the one time in Call of Cthulhu. He doesn't show up anywhere else. Yog-Sothoth shows up in three stories. He shows up in Dreams of the Witch House, in Mountains of Madness, and in the Dunwich Horror, which is all about Yog-Sothoth. Both of these characters are referenced a bunch, but only Nyarlathotep personally shows up in not three, but four stories. He shows up in The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath. He shows up in Hunter of the Dark. He shows up in Dreams of the Witch House, notably, which we talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. And he shows up in the poem cycle, The Fungi of Yuggoth. And then, of course, he shows up in this one. So he shows up personally in five stories.
His agent is like, we got to expose you. Let's get you off.
He's like the Samuel Jackson.
Right.
Of Lovecraft.
Oh my God. Yeah.
In fact, Samuel Jackson should play Nyarlathotep in the whatever, anything. It's fine.
The sharkening.
Right. There is actually a Marvel character who's kind of based on Nyarlathotep. And what is his name? The Dweller in the Darkness is his name.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. That sounds very Lovecrafty.
Yep. Yeah. Marvel does a little bit of Lovecraft stuff. DC did more, I want to say. Certainly in like Justice League, like Cthulhu proper shows up in Justice League and all that. But that's for another episode. When we run out of Lovecraft and we have to talk about Lovecraft adjacent stuff, we can talk about the death of Solomon Grundy.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, there must be some Lovecrafty stuff in Sandman, right?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, well, but like Sandman's kind of the opposite of Lovecraft, right? Because like Lovecraft's like cosmology is basically based on humans in particular and humanity in general is inconsequential. Like it is in an uncaring cosmos. And Sandman like is all about like, oh, no. I care about each and every person. Like death personally shows up and takes you all away to the sunless lands.
I'm so sorry, sir.
But we're on a honeymoon.
Your time's up.
It is okay. It is night and like, other like night.
We exist because humanity exists.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yep. And the pantheon in Lovecraft just don't care at all. Nyarlathotep is probably the only one that really interacts. I'm trying to think of any other supernatural being that directly interacts with humans, and I'm can't think of many. I think Yogg-Sothoth like takes down some people in Dunwich Horror, but it's just an attack.
I did think this was interesting because he showed up and it was like he was showing up as one would expect, like the Antichrist to show up or whatever. I mean,
very
he was all,
very Antichrist-y kind of character.
I hear a screech owl.
Yeah, so do I.
That's cool.
Will Murray, who is a Pulp Fiction researcher, makes the case that Lovecraft was referencing Nikola Tesla in the very beginning, because Nyarlathotep has like all these gewgaws and gimcracks and you know machines powered by electricity and is like big in media, and the things that he shows you are like amazing and horrible. And so you know, Tesla was a weird character, and if you're listening to this in, you know, 2022, when you think Tesla, you probably don't think of Nikola Tesla, but you think of Elon Musk, who thinks of himself as a Tesla, but he's not. However, is it possible that Lovecraft was predicting 100 years ago the rise of Elon Musk?
No. Because there have always been. First of all, fuck you, Elon Musk. You're not. I mean, yes, you're terrible smart about person. Some things, but whatever. You're no Nikola Tesla. But there's always somebody with new and terrible inventions, right? Mm-hmm.
I would maybe not always.
I don't know. Maybe we just live in a time where there's always
it just it's constant.
Yeah, it's right in our faces because we have the internet. But
in the beginning of the story, Nyarlathotep is like almost like a huckster. He's like, "Hey, he's coming to town," and people are saying, yes. "You got to see him."
Yes, it was very much like a monorail. Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
And so you go and you watch his movies and they're terrible and amazing and frightening. And then like afterwards, when you're out on the street, you're talking to each other and like kind of comforting each other, I guess. It's like, oh no, it was terrible, but was it? And then like things kind of escalate fairly quickly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
In the story, the narrator, the unnamed, our usual unnamed narrator, basically joins up with, you know, the thousands of people who are marching in queues toward nobody knows. and it's like getting cold out. He talks a lot about like unseasonable weather, which also hits pretty close to home when you listen to the story. I say, as Las Vegas apparently is getting monsoon floods, you know, on a weekly basis now. Yeah, and so like he's being let out, and then like then the perspective kind of zooms out towards the end of like, and also the universe is a graveyard. So it's like not just the end of the world, but the end of everything. And
well, that's a very,
and it kind of elides over the whole middle bit.
Normal human thing, I think, to be focused on what's happening around you immediately, and then maybe at the very last minute you notice, like, oh, this is happening. Okay, well, this is not just happening to me.
I mean, it does remind me a little bit of our Arkham Horror games, where everything's going along, and we're having a good time, and we're keeping around, and we're doing things, and then a turn happens, and suddenly there's 12 monsters on us, and we're doomed.
Legit. Seriously, the first three turns, I was like, oh, this is, no, we could do this. This is good. We could win this. And then all of a sudden, you're like,
by turn five,
oh, we cannot win this.
This is
all.
Impossible.
Arkham Horror.
Where's the resign action?
Has taught me humility.
Uh huh. Well, I hope
for
so.
For sure. Oh my gosh, listeners. If you want to hear about the thing that has driven Todd and I closest to divorce, which will never happen because I will never let my cold, dark claws out of his soul, it would be the fact that I do not ever want to resign in Arkham Horror. Never resign.
Just take the trauma.
Never surrender.
Never give up. Never surrender.
So, and speaking of Arkham Horror, Nyarlathotep does show up in the Dream Eaters, which is an Arkham Horror cycle. He's one of the two big baddies. The other one is like the Spider Mother or whatever. Interestingly enough, he does not show up in Guardians of the Abyss, which takes place entirely in Egypt.
He doesn't. Are you sure?
I control F through the manual. It's the one with the void.
I thought that he was why people were sleeping. No?
It's implied. He's never named directly. Huh. I kind of assume that in Guardians of the Abyss, it's all Nyarlathotep's doing.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I lost Jenny Barnes.
So, unlike other figures in Lovecraft that are recurring, Randolph Carter being probably the only being that shows up more often than Nyarlathotep. But Cthulhu, Yog-Sothoth, they all have a very consistent look and feel. they appear, they do their thing, or they're mentioned in a context where you expect it. Nyarlathotep is never the same dude twice. He's always different. And so maybe he's a shapeshifter and he just shows up in a shapeshifty way. And like, depending on the circumstance, like he looks how he looks and he acts how he acts. Like he's got very different motives in all of his stories.
Okay. So he's not always antichristy.
No, sometimes he's like just a monster.
Oh,
sometimes he's like literally the devil, not just like an antichrist, like a Damien Thorn or anything. Like he is the devil. So like in the Witch House, right? He's got cloven hooves. He's the black man. He's like the patron of witches. Like he is about as devilly as you get.
Okay.
So you could say either shapeshifter or Lovecraft just liked the name and just used it over and over again, which seems a little on brand for him after reading about his choices on things. But I'm going to try something here, and I'm going to talk about the cosmology talked about in Lovecraft Investigations in season 2. So if you don't want to be spoiled by season 2.
Well, you know, I have no problem with that. I have not.
You don't care about spoilers.
But we've only.
So season 2. Okay. All right. So I'm going to try something here.
I'm not afraid.
You don't care about spoilers.
Yeah, I don't care.
Bring it. The listener, if you care about spoilers. Come back in 3 minutes and 20 seconds or 200 seconds. And then you can just pick up from there and it will have skipped past all the spoiler bits. Okay. Spoilers start now.
Okay.
Lovecraft Investigations. Season 2 makes like a pretty interesting cosmology around Nyarlathotep is that the reason why he changes forms all the time for two reasons. One, he is an agent of Azathoth, which is like the big, great big destructor god, basically. We are dreams of Azathoth, and Azathoth wants to interact with this reality, but can't, because if he does, then it's like Inception-y bullshit, right? And so Nyarlathotep thinks that as an agent of Azathoth, he can figure out a way to bring Azathoth into Azathoth's dream, which is our reality. And the way he does it is by over and over again showing up throughout human history saying, like, I'm the Messiah. I will bring you to, you know, Valhalla. I will bring the second coming. I will be, you know, he can be anything. And so,
so if you,
a really fun idea.
It is. If you are a common thread throughout all religions,
yep,
and throughout all whatever's.
Believe in me and do these culty, yeah, things, and I can help bring Azathoth through on this end. Now, if he is successful, it is a disaster because maybe Azathoth wakes up, maybe, and we all disappear.
Why does Azathoth want to... Well, I guess I could get
who
into
knows?
Azathoth.
Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't matter. This is my premise. God. I always want to get into, like, their motivations. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you want to destroy everything? Who, yeah, you're right. It, well,
because
matter.
Azathoth is an idiot. And this is, like, comes up more than once.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
He's an immense...
This just in! Podcaster says Azathoth is an idiot!
I stand by it. Is, like, enormously powerful, is the center of reality as far as we know, and is, like, dumb as a post. And Nyarlathotep is mentioned at the end of this story, his first story that he's introduced.
Oh, he's like his ground man.
He's the guy, he's the man.
He's the Dick Cheney.
Yeah, he's the Dick Cheney. He's like, no, Azathoth. I mean Azathoth. No, you don't want to do that. You want to do this. That is a very apt comparison. Dick Cheney probably is this cycle's version of Nyarlathotep. So,
I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm like, bring me Azathoth, because yeah, that's preferable to whatever.
Well, I really like I liked season one of Lovecraft Investigations. I liked season two okay. It was fine. I was like coming along, and then this like Nyarlathotep thing like dropped, and I'm like, oh shit, okay, this is awesome. So right, it's very
good. I
gotta
good. Get caught back up.
It's very good. And so with that, we'll go back to the regular mainline episode, because I'm gonna do some podcast editory magic and people can just skip right over that. So yeah, that's the big spoiler for Lovecraft Investigations. If you can't stand it, go back and listen to it. And thank you so much, Jack from England, for recommending it, because we sometimes go on 7-hour road trips because we live in Texas, USA, and that's when we listen to these podcasts.
Did Jack from England recommend that?
He did.
Oh, I was super enjoying that. Yeah. And I only didn't get back into it because...
We haven't taken a 7-hour car trip.
Is it wrong to listen to it when I wasn't driving in the car on a road trip? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's really good. So go check it out and learn the current secret of Nyarlathotep. So, yeah. So Nyarlathotep shows up. He goes from city to city. He and Skorls.
And Sorcel.
People, and they all line up in queues and then go to their doom. And Sorcels? And Sorcels.
And Sorcel.
People.
What is that in the...
It's a word.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a word.
Okay.
It's when you do sorcery on people. You ensorcel them.
Ensorcel.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I believe you.
I don't think you do.
I don't, but it's not my podcast. It's yours.
It's ours. It's half yours.
Okay. All right, I love you. Go on.
And they march off to their doom, and then the world ends. And that's basically the story. It's very short.
It is. There's no... Okay, and again, I always feel bad because I feel like I'm listening to or I read things written. I don't want to be the spoiler all the time.
Uh-huh.
By spoiler, I mean back at the olden term of spoiler, which was like somebody who made fun of stuff, not just somebody who told secrets.
No, it's okay. I mean, like, not everything Lovecraft writes is great. I mean, this is 1920. This is early in his career.
Yeah.
Now, it is after Cats of Ulthar, which is amazing. And I really like
good.
Cats of Ulthar.
That was good. No, but nothing happens in this. I mean,
nothing
there's
happens.
No.
It's kind of a character sketch.
There's
it's
no
a character
conflict.
Sketch, which I do think that there's, you're right, there's no conflict. Nyarlathotep shows up more than once. It may imply that, like, Lovecraft doesn't really know what to do with them, you know? And so, like, the first time out, it's a character sketch. Second time out, he's a hideous monster. Third time out, he's the devil, right? Like, who knows?
Well, he comes from, I mean, it's a character that he dreamt of.
Yeah.
Which, as, like, I
And he says he wrote the first paragraph still asleep, whatever that means.
Well, I know what he means by that. Like, I think that's super cool because we all, I assume, have dreams where we are like, oh my God, I have to immediately write this down. This is insane. Mm-hmm. I do feel like all of the dreams that we hear about from Lovecraft are like, my dreams are really fucking cool where like where I'm very powerful or I'm involved in some kind of, like, it's never where a monster just has 100% control over me.
Well,
so I feel bad for him.
Well, I mean, you can read up on his relationship with his mother and it probably has something to do with that.
Man, I am very, I'm very lucky. I have a good relationship with my parents. I love you, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, that's right. And then that, and with that, we've hit every one of our listeners.
That's right. Sorry, if there's anyone left, tweet at us and we will call you out. So next weekend, we're going to Necronomicon.
We are. It is very exciting. Claire has never been to Necronomicon. I have only been to Necronomicon once with a teenager.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
So this will be great.
Yeah. No, I saw that. And I saw there was a whole thing on like podcasting about this kind of
thing.
There's
a panel?
There's a podcasting panel.
Are we on it?
No, we are not.
Honey, can you...
When you have four listeners, you do not... And we love
We have
all,
more than four.
And we love have, we all six of you. Yeah. No, we don't have a few thousand.
No, I said a few dozen.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with it. There are dozens of us. Dozens!
Okay, we don't have a few dozen. Anyway, if you guys are going, come find us.
Yeah, come find us. We're the good-looking ones. I'm not going to say that.
You just did.
No, I can edit it. It's the magic of editing.
Damn. Don't do it. Don't edit it out. Come on. No, no, come find us because we don't actually think that we're like hot shit because we're sitting here talking to a microphone, like legit. We are quite sure that there's only a few people that are listening, and we are very grateful for you.
Very grateful indeed.
I'd do this even if there were none of you. It's fun. I love talking to my husband
it's
about
a format,
stuff.
Yeah. It's a format where I force my wife to talk about Lovecraft with me.
I know, but he's cute. I get to sit across from my handsome husband, and listen, he's playing footy with me right now.
I am. Yeah, so we're coming to Providence, Rhode Island. By the time you listen to this, it will probably be next week.
The 18th is Thursday.
All right, yeah. So August 18th through, what, 22nd or something?
No, 21st.
We'll be in Providence, Rhode Island. Please, if you're around and you listen to the show...
How will they find us? I don't know.
I don't know. Figure
right.
it out.
Yeah, no, my husband is devastatingly handsome. Look okay. for the devastatingly handsome man.
Uh-huh.
And
with
regular
the hot attorney wife.
Soccer mom.
Nope. So if you listen to the show, I'll post a picture of us in masks so you can maybe recognize us. Because like I realized this week, it's like, oh, it's impossible to tell someone. It's like, oh, this is what they look like. Go find them because everybody wears masks.
Oh, yeah. And they're requiring it. Which
Necronomicon
props to them.
Requires masking and vaxxing, which is great. It is the reason why I'm going to Necronomicon and not other conferences that happen to be happening right now. but it should be super fun. There's a film fest. There's the Eldritch. We'll definitely be at the Eldritch Ball at some point.
Yes. I bought tickets.
We bought tickets and everything.
And I want to dress up.
And so we'll be there. So the Eldritch Ball happens after the trivia, which is a location TBD, but somewhere in Providence. I went to the trivia last time, and it was super duper fun. It's not all just Lovecraft trivia. So knowing something about like the DC Comics universe was like super handy. I was a genius for a moment among all these Lovecraft geniuses. Really fun. If you're anywhere on the Eastern Seaboard, want to come out for the weekend, talk about Lovecraft. Go see some art. There's art shows. The whole city is basically the venue, by the way. So like Providence is very, I guess, typical New England city where it's only like 12 blocks across or whatever, right? For the city part. And the entire city is the venue. There's there's, I don't know, five or six official locations. There's two hotels. There's the public library is involved. There's two movie theaters involved. It's a whole thing. So I'm very excited to go and be a Lovecraft podcaster at Necronomicon. And I think there's even a panel that we're definitely not on.
Oh, no. And that's for big boys and girls.
We're not big boys. But maybe next time. Anyway, look for the really good looking podcasters, and that's us.
Really, really good looking podcasters.
And with that, we'll see you later.
And if you like the show, you can tweet at us at PodSothoth on Twitter. You can also email if you like to hideous@podsothoth.club. And hopefully, we'll see you in Providence.